Good evening. Welcome to Ask Catherine for Publishing Thursday, November 18th. And these are questions as of Monday. Some of the questions last week I rolled into the previous Ask Catherine. So if you, at the last minute, so if you came in late or midweek last week, you may be in the earlier Ask Catherine. Anyway, so questions as of Monday, the beginning of the week, and we're publishing Thursday the 18th. I'm recording Thursday the 18th. Okay, cash and precious metals. If the Fed eventually completely controls the banks from large to regional local, how do people transact in that scenario? Also, while I find money in markets informative, it would be helpful for you to focus more on specific things people can do to prepare. Maybe this is on the site. John and I decided to add a section called Take Action into Money and Market. So we do some of that every week. That's a great suggestion. Thank you. If the Fed eventually completely controls the bank, we're going to have to operate without the banks. And we're going to have ways of transacting and trading among each other without the banks. That, of course, means community currencies, local equity, all the different things. And it's a huge cultural change because it means we have to enforce and maintain the rule of law without the established systems. Hi, Catherine. Wow, you've been in Europe more than a year now. Longer must be nice. And like always, sounds like you're turning COVID into an asset. No, I hope that's not the case. But what I do feel is that the whole world is now going through all the tactics I dealt during the litigation. And although I hate to see it, and I feel like I failed in trying to prevent it and warning people about it, I do feel as though it's not as lonely now that everybody's in the same box. Crypto, why do so many otherwise smart people like Bitcoin? There's nothing there, zero, and people think it's safe and independent while the FBI cracks the hackers. Last year in 24 hours sounds like a scam in preparation for Fedcoin, plus Bitcoiners can be unplugged in an instant. A real trifecta for Mr. Global Smooth. I did a big due diligence on Bitcoin in 2017 and did an interview with Harry Blaser and sort of explains all my thoughts. I have it on my list to do a sort of update of that in 2022 because obviously there's a lot more to say and a lot more going on. The market cap of all cryptos now up to $3 trillion. John and I talk about it on the Money and Markets this week. But yes, it is a real trifecta for Mr. Global because you're siphoning off a lot of money that would be causing it price inflation into something where price inflation has no real impact. It's been about 3 months since my stroke. I'm pretty normal except for slight weakness on my left leg and being a bit more tired than usual. Lucky to still be here, mostly intact, wondering if 5G and vaccine shredding played a part. I think there's a very good chance of that. At least that's where my money is still optimistic and moving forward. I would love to get to the bottom of shedding and what that phenomenon is, because I think there's something very important to understand that can help us reduce our risk. I would strongly recommend you read my book review on the Wim Hof Method book. We just did a fantastic interview with Wim, led by Ulrich Groniger, which we hope to publish in January. I think the Wim Hof Method could help anybody who's dealing with a wide variety of what I call symptoms of the great poisoning, immunosuppression, rising toxicity, and inflammation. So given your fact patterns, I strongly recommend read the Wim Hof Method. I think it can help tremendously. Catherine, so you go through some of your holdings in the securities markets and precious metals. Don't feel comfortable with the cash sitting in banks, leery of buying real estate to do the reset and COVID deaths approaching. Kind of wondering what to do at the moment, not asking for investment advice. We also have a 250-acre farm in the South. Thank you in advance. We met at one lunch, and I really enjoy your website, one of the most intellectual ones I belong to. So the first thing I would do is give some real consideration to building up that farm, particularly putting in tiny homes or other places that can be rented to a variety of people looking to form community in this situation. But only, you know, be very careful, only totally trusted friends and allies. So you got to be really make sure you've got, Intervox says it's your family and the people who won't turn you in. So you need some real freedom fighters. So you have to be real careful. But I think this is like a game of chess. You're going to lose some of the players on the chessboard. You want to field your players across the board. And that's what I try to do. I have a lot of money invested in people because I realize that anything in the financial system could be grabbed. But if I invested in people and building up people, and part of that is through Solari, part is why we do so many donations. So I strongly recommend investing in people. The other thing I strongly recommend is taking a big chunk of change and giving it to the litigators who are fighting for your freedom. If we don't fund our army now, we will not have assets. And if you look at some of the groups, whether it's Leslie Mnookin at the Health Freedom Defense or Mary Holland and Robert Kennedy at Children's Health Defense, these groups are doing an incredible job. So look at the folks in the Take Action Crowdfund. Look at Farm to Consumer Legal Defense Fund. Incredible job. So look at the litigators who are leading the war to protect your assets. And I would put a serious piece of chunk of change, behind them. Dear Catherine, new subscriber trying to wrap my head around the financial ideas. I've seen two articles lately regarding the 7.12% interest for I-Series U.S. savings bond. That certainly is appealing. Really? Do you want to finance Tony Fauci? Do you want to finance the COVID restrictions? Do you want to finance, the vaccine mandates? That's what you're financing. I mean, let's connect the dots here. So I don't want to finance Tony Fauci, and I don't care if you give me 50%. I'm not going to finance Tony Fauci because my soul's worth more than my bank account. Am I helping to build the prison by doing that? Absolutely, 100%. You already knew that. Why are you asking me? Thoughts on whether to capitalize on this even for a year losing 3 months interest? I strongly recommend you go to HUDmissingmoney.Solari.com. You can also find it at missingmoney.Solari.com if you do a search in Solari. I wrote an article called Caveat Emptor about what the implications are of the missing money to the treasury market. I have to say that 7.112 interest rate shows you what they're expecting in terms of inflation. And I would say that the credit behind any saving U.S. savings bond or treasury is at this point, I don't know if they've stolen all the money. There's nothing there. Yes, there's a nuclear arsenal, but it's not clear to me they're going to use that to protect your creditor rights. You have to make your own decisions, but you read Caveat Emptor and you tell me what the credit of a U.S. savings bond is worth. Screens. As you have referred to screens in your investment strategies, I want to be sure, correct, are you referring to Parvin or are there other screens available for us? So screens, when I talk about screens, I'm talking about screens generically. There are millions of investment screens of all different kinds, including ESG, and that sort of growing up, it's part of my fear is it's part of the climate change op. I do screens, and you can learn about them if you want at SolariAdvisors.com. It's incredibly important to me that I don't promote them on the Solari Report because I get a fee from the use of my screen, and so it's a conflict of interest for me to promote it on the Solari Report, and I don't do that. But you can certainly learn everything you need to know about them there. I have written two wrap-ups about the screening issues. The last one was, will ESG turn the red button green? And the other was in 2016, can we screen for productive companies? And those are excellent overviews of the whole screening sort of idea and issue, particularly as it relates to ESG. So I would encourage you to read those two. They're both, the ESG is on the homepage, but the productive companies is it's either in the wrap-up table, which is on the homepage, or in the library. Dear Catherine, my family have all of our investments and trusts at place X. It's not a huge amount, around X million or so. We would like to move the assets to an investment bank who can handle my father's trust when the time comes and manage my assets as well. An institution who's not tied up with CRT, ESG, and the Great Reset agenda and has a solid foundation is not going anywhere. Can you steer me in the right direction? So this one is tough because ultimately any financially secure custodian is in the system and you're not going to be able to get out of all that crazy stuff. What I would do, Ann Christensen is a estate and trusts officer who started her own consulting practice in Santa Fe, and I would call her and hire her for a short period of time to sort of figure out what the best you can do is in the United States. She would have a good sense of it. And if she has questions, I'm happy to help her sort of sort through any issues that might relate to what I've said on the Solari Report. There's an interview with Anne in the library on sort of how to design your estate, and you can get a feel from her listening to that interview and get her contact information. Anne Christensen, again, in Santa Fe. My guess is that the if we were to make a list of anybody who might fit your criteria, most of them are likely offshore. It's going to be a good private money manager with a good custodian. Even though they're offshore, they're probably going to be registered with the SEC. But that involves a lot of work and expense and time. And so what I'm hoping is Ann may be able to come up with probably what is the best, some of the best options in the United States. So see if that helps. And again, you know, make sure the place you're going to is good, because it's a lot of work to move and you want to make sure you get it right. So I would get some professional help. Hey, Catherine, huge, huge fan of everything you do. Thanks for being a bright light in a dim world. How are the globalists planning to steal our assets through taxes, seizing properties? Okay, then secondly, I've just discovered Texas Slim Initiative newsletter and listening to Texas Slim on the latest Tales from the Crypto podcast. His thoughts about decentralizing the food system are interesting. I think you might like his take on food and fake commodities. The way they're going to take our assets is there are many, many options and very complex, and it's going to be different in different places. On the banks, they're planning on doing bail-ins and introducing CBDC. Small business, they're using COVID and disaster capitalism as well as regulation. And there's all sorts of engineering of a difference in cost of capital behind the scenes that's part of the regulation. Securities, through the destruction and control of the collateral. Real estate, it's disaster capitalism and climate change. The climate change op is a big move on scarfing up and stealing all the farmland and real estate. Probably the worst is the children and family, dividing children and destroying the family and destroying the health and future of children. So that's divide and conquer and the great poisoning. One of the points I made in our presentation in Italy was, you know, our greatest wealth is in our children. And you certainly see that when you unpack the economics of neighborhoods, because we all raise and educate our kids and they either get poisoned or then they get stolen off to work for the corporations who are busy instituting the prison. They steal our assets with mind control. I can't tell you how much I've seen mind control on both the old media and new media and telecommunications used to have people make choices that allows their wealth to be stolen. It's frightening. Precious metals, if they can end the Second Amendment, seizures of the precious metals is going to be easy. Retirement benefits, you do it by draining the value and the collateral of treasuries and interest rate manipulation, securities and mortgage fraud, and of course the COVID restrictions. You know, just watch them trying to cut people off from their retirement benefits saying you're not vaccinated. And then of course taxation, they raise taxes and then abrogate all the financial management law so they can use the money for criminal purposes. So, you know, I'm just mentioning, say, 10 of them. There are many, many more. The enforcement game with asset forfeiture and seizures, it goes on and on. Fees, fines, big ones. Hi, Catherine. Last week, I had a wonderful encounter with fellow shoppers when I announced I was paying in cash because it was Cash Friday. In this regard, I would like to start a series of Cash Friday t-shirts to wear on Fridays. Do you have a place on your site where you post all your previous Cash Friday squares? If so, can these be copied for personal use? And is it acceptable to put Slurry.com on the t-shirt in the same manner as you have a square on your site? So click on the Cash Friday graphic, go to the bottom of the article, link it there. You'll find links to all the prior Cash Friday graphics. Please use, spread, reproduce. If you want to use Solari.com, it's fine as long as you use one of our memes. Don't change the words and then keep the Solari. So use one of our graphics complete if you're going to use the Solari name. But, you know, feel free to take them and use them and do whatever you can to spread Cash Friday. I really appreciate that. I also sent you a response by email, so you should have it. Hi, Catherine. Can you tell me if and how I can use your site for investment information? I have retirement invested funds now and bonds of various kinds. I want to be sure the funds are secure for the future and aligned with my values in human rights and environmental protection. I'm looking for information. By the way, I watched As It Is in Heaven on recommendation from your site. Absolutely lovely. I've given it as a Christmas gift and recommend it to friends. Oh, I'm so glad. I love that movie. I can't tell you how many times I've had it on Let's Go to the Movies because I'm trying to get everybody to watch it. It really helps you understand the deeper meaning of music. Not that we all intuitively know it anyway. So I don't provide investment advice on the Solari Report. If you read and listen to the last four equity overviews and look at the links, I think they'll be very helpful. We try and focus on helping you understand the primary trends, which are essential background for any investment portfolio or plan. Hopefully that's helpful. As I described above, we did two wrap-ups on screening. One was, can I screen for productive companies? And the other is, will ESG turn the red button green? And I would think those would be very helpful in sort of helping you get a picture of how the screen industry works. Hi, Catherine. I've been listening to you for over a year. After getting a bit indoctrinated, I followed your recommendations and put my money investments with an advisor you interviewed. Okay, so that was not my recommendation. I don't give investment advice. I do screen very carefully the people who come on here. I don't require them to agree with me on everything, but I make sure they're very high integrity people. I still heard you. Okay, so I'm really feeling the stock market is nothing more than a Ponzi scheme. All real assets are bubbling incredibly, including the stock market. So there's very significant bubbling everywhere in prices. So that's why you're feeling that. It's one of the reasons the last equity overview, I had Jason Worth walk us through hedging, because hedging is a way to deal with high bubble prices. So I would definitely consider that. The problem with the kind of funds you're doing is it puts you into everything. It's not screened. And so you end up with your money in a lot of things you don't want to be a part of, and you're back to building your prison. So that's why I have my money in something that is both, it's using my screen, it's a mutual fund, it's using my screen, and it's hedged, because I don't want to be unhedged in this market personally. That would not apply to other people. There are other people, if I looked at their situation, I'd tell them not to hedge. But for me, I'm hedged. I'm in stuff that I've screened, and it's only a piece. I would say that the amount I have in stock market is a relatively small piece of my assets. Again, I invest in people, and I invest in building Solari. That's what I invest in. So I just did another deal with Corey Lynn, who's writing a great piece on this latest sort of smallpox vials that were found at Merck. So we're going to sponsor that. Well, that's, to me, that's a great investment. And as I said above, if you're not taking a portion of your income and your assets and tithing it to litigators to go fight this fight, you don't understand. With no law, you have no assets. There will be no assets. They'll take everything. So send those attorneys and those politicians who are fighting for your freedom and fund them. Hi, Catherine. My name is Michelle, and I manage the office of my partner's business in metal fabrication, large trucking equipment I'm going to X out the place. I've been pleading with him to to move banks local, and you've been with big bank. I won't say who. Our business is small with only 6 employees. We use the banking system for the most basic forms of business banking. I've received the annual reports from a local bank, and now I'm at a standstill. Okay, so we have an article called How to Find a Good Local Bank. We'll put it in the links here. I also did 2 interviews there in the library with my bankers on how to figure out and find a good local bank. They're a little bit dated, but you can use those if you wish. I can't tell you how important it is to check references. You have CPAs, you have attorneys. You know lots of people in the community, including people who run businesses. You can ask them what their experience is and ask them for references. I find that if you ask for enough references, you get very, very good insight and opinions. The other thing is, you may know nothing about banking, but after you've done your due diligence and preparation as described in How to Find a Good Local Bank, again, the link will be in the links. If you go in and just talk to people about banking with them, you will get a feeling. I can't tell you what a great source of input your intuition is. You will feel their integrity. You will feel their competence. You will like them. So intuition is not everything. It's got to be backed up by hard due diligence. But once you've done your due diligence and you go in, your intuition is very important. The way to kind of protect it and check it from getting tricked is with the references. So read that article, talk to the people you know in the community who are successful in business or understand accounting and law and understand banking. And I call it turtling. Just turtle through, because you can figure this out. Here's the thing to understand about all finance and money and economics. Anybody can understand it. It's been made hopelessly complicated and hard for you to understand. But what I want to instill in you, what I want to inspire in you, is an absolute belief that you can understand it and it can make sense to you. And if it's not making it sense to you, then it is the financial professional who is messing up, not you. Okay? They should be obligated to make it understandable to you so that you can make wise decisions. And if they're not doing that, it's their problem. It's not your problem. And you can and will hold them accountable to make it understandable to you. So I just want to inspire you a little to make them perform on your behalf. Good evening, Catherine. We're very grateful to you for your job, a job done from a simple human perspective, and your kind answers to our emails. We have many questions, but we don't want to send them too much now, being the first one. One question: in these difficult times where poverty, loss of rights, and other tragedies will be the most sure consequence of these two past years of planet history, is there any European institute or private entity that one could contact to get some advice, protection in a broad sense? Are they able to influence also on a specific local reality? I hope it's clear and we will find answers to this. Huh, this is a good question and I'm not sure how to answer it. I know that there are groups in Europe that provide me with this. You know, they provide me with advice and protection. They provide me with the flow of intelligence. They provide me. So Thomas Meyer and his wife, Rosolia, I'm constantly plugging into their network and group of people. They're just a national treasure. And so you can hear more from Thomas at Academy for Spiritual Science Connect is the website we brought up to present his work. Doctors for COVID Ethics has been a wonderful resource for me. So those are doctors and scientists really helping me understand what's going on. Children Health Defense, I just got back from Milan and Switzerland, sort of going with Robert Kennedy was there from US. Obviously, he leads the whole shebang, but then the team from the Europe CHD sent a Dupuy and Orsolia, Thomas's wife, and in support. They're amazing. So this whole group is just, you know, they just love freedom with all their hearts and minds. And it's, you know, it's just a great combination. So, and then there are groups here in the Netherlands. We have an incredible new independent media. But is there one institution or private entity that you can look to? I think there are networks, and you have to develop and your relationship with networks. So I wish there was one, but I don't know what to tell you. I can tell you how I do it. But clearly these networks are developing. And I think if I were you and I wanted to start, I'd start connecting into the independent media in Europe, in the places that you most care about, and see what you find. Okay, healthy athletes are dropping like flies after clot shot rollout. They say it's rare, but is it? What you're watching all across the independent media is aggregation after aggregation of links about healthy athletes collapsing and career ending, or collapsing and dying. Steve Kirsch just put out an article saying it's 60 times more likely to happen since the vaccination started. It's clearly the spike protein destroying people's vascular systems. And it's frightening. Of course, it's bringing on an incredible number of heart problems and heart attacks and deaths from heart attacks. And now, of course, this week, John and I talk about it on Money and Markets. We're seeing them roll out articles saying climate change is causing heart problems. You cannot make it up. A wonderful message from folks who are working at a library who've managed to secure a religious exemption. Good for you. Peggy Hall helped. That's fantastic. You found her through Solari. I love her work. I'm a member of her site and a supporter. It turns out the library put out an email to all the people who clearly had exemptions, and that is a HIPAA violation. It's a very bad one. You ask, is it worth painting a target on my back to, you know, assert your legal rights? Here's what I would do. I should also mention there is a new video that Meryl Nass found for us at a conference in Florida. Apparently, a lawyer gave a great presentation on how to secure religious exemption. We'll get it up in News Trends and Stories and put the link here. And I strongly recommend it. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but the recommendations I'm getting from, you know, the best and the brightest, like Meryl. If Meryl says it's great, it's great. Anyway, I would write a letter that was very, very gracious documenting the violation and asking them not to do it again. And the reason I would do this is, and I would make it very gracious and give them all the information as though they didn't have it and didn't know. Currently, after one violation, they can say it was a mistake, not intentional. But if you write that letter, then if they do it again, it's intentional and they've broken the law and you've got them, you know, 8 ways from Sunday and they know it. So I think if you write a very gracious, educational, fact-providing, helpful kind of letter, it won't put a target on your back and it will dramatically increase the chances that they won't do it again. And if they do do it again, you got a lawsuit. Dear Catherine, I really appreciate all your insights and your informative website. And then you point out the new immunization code, a code to put people in the hospital and insurance system for not being vaccinated. Then you ask a question about paying off debts, which I thought was very, very interesting. And this is a question that everybody's grappling with. So you're also expanding your food choices. That's good. Here's what I would do if you can do it. There was a church in Norfolk that used to educate people in the church who had debt. Then they would do a tithing to pay off the debt of that couple. And the whole process would be supported by prayer. And they went around the church and one by one by one, they got everybody out of debt. It's a great story. But the deal was they had to tear up their credit cards. That was over. What I would do is I would sit down and put together a family rainy day reserve so that the rainy day reserve is not one for your daughter, one for your son, and one for you. It's one for the family. And what you can do is people can pay off their debt, but then depend on the family daily reserve to protect them in case they get in trouble. If you look at sort of whose situation, the first one I pay off is your son. That one's a no-brainer. Just that's a low amount, and he's an engineer, which means he's likely to stay employed even if he's unvaccinated, which I hope he is. But so I would pay off one and let that one depend on the ability to draw on the family reserve, like a letter of credit if they need it. Then I would work together to pay off your daughter. Again, then your daughter and your son, depending on the family reserve to do it. You know, think of this as a family bank and then you pay off yours. But you share the reserve so that you can get rid of more debt faster. I'd strongly recommend you listen to Family Wealth with Jay Hughes. It's in the library. You know, consider having a dinner or call once a month on how to help each other be resilient and successful in this environment. A great question, but I think you need to team up and start thinking about conspiring to get yourselves out of debt. Yeah, start a family conspiracy. This is what conspiracies are for. A great letter from a person at a university who is dealing with mandates and sort of describing the fact that clearly the university is being literally bribed from behind the scenes, that if they don't do this, they're going to lose all their federal grants. Now, one of the reasons I've been so adamant about the financial coup and the dangers of the financial coup is when you run everything through the federal government, you get everybody dependent on these centralized financial systems, particularly that don't make economic sense. Then everybody becomes over-dependent, and now you got them by the you-know-whats, the short hairs. So problem is, if you go along with this, they're coming for your properties. They're coming from your real estate. They're coming from your bank accounts. They're coming from everything. So if you play this incremental game of, oh, well, it's only a foot. It's only another foot. It's only a foot. Well, it's going to work its way foot after foot after foot. That's how you get to a mile. Kevin Shipp, somebody pointed out to me this weekend that Kevin Shipp had said that there are 4.8 million national security agreements behind the scenes in America. And those are agreements entered into not just by government and military, but private officials who agree to do what the national security state tells them. And if they don't keep that contract, they can go to prison and lose their assets. And it wouldn't surprise me, watching some of the things going on, if, you know, somebody like your president and people, company CEOs are, you know, subject to these contracts. It wouldn't surprise me if some of the resignations coming into COVID-19 was a lot of people who had those agreements and weren't willing to be part of genocide and basically shutting down a million businesses in the United States and many more worldwide in exchange. You know, so the only way to get out of that box was to quit. Hi, Catherine. I've not been able to find any reliable sources referencing viral shedding. Would you or any of the subscribers have any ideas or sites? I don't know of any. I think this is a really important phenomenon. I don't think we understand it, but I, for one, don't know of any reliable sources. And part of it is all the doctors and scientists I know right now are focused on stopping the injections and stopping the passports, which is more important, I think, than understanding shedding. But if anybody has any really reliable sources on shedding, there hasn't been enough time, I think, I know of, to do real serious science on it, but I would love to find out more. The real power of IT and serial numbers and using silent weapons, what was being speculated appears to be true. They have special lots of toxins and they release to see what they do. So you sent in these stories about the 5%, 100% of the deaths coming from 5% of the batches, including the market ticker. John Titus and I discussed that 2 weeks ago in Money and Markets, including highlighting Carl Denninger's great article on from Market Ticker. He just does great work on health. And then somebody sent in a question about how to find a place and pointing out that they've investigated lots of the rural areas, and the rural areas are even more financially dependent on central control, more beat up and sort of more controlled. I agree. You have to be, you know, a rural area is not necessarily better in terms of culture and community. It's really a place-by-place phenomenon. The other thing is you have to be really careful. If you bet the ranch on any one place, there is a very famous story, but the Falkland War in 1989, it was told in Time magazine, a couple in the UK decided the world was going crazy. They wanted to get out of Dodge. They did a big study of what the safest places in the world would be. They sold everything, moved to the Falkland Islands, bought a beautiful house overlooking the cliffs right on the ocean, and moved everything to the Falklands. And a month or two later, the house was destroyed by a missile in the Falklands War. You know, bad luck. And one of the reasons when I bought my place in Tennessee, I spent as little as money as possible. And I bought in a place with very low costs. You know, I wanted to be able, if somebody burned it to the ground, to just pick up and go someplace else. So one of my favorite expressions about these kinds of times is movement is life. Don't have this image of I'm going to find a place to be safe and be safe for the rest of my life. My image is I'm going to do the best I can do to fill my purpose today. And tomorrow everything could change and I could have to move. So, you know, I, for one, would not bet the ranch on one infrastructure, because I think we have to be prepared to follow a purpose. I also believe that God has a purpose for our lives. And if you're following your purpose, you'll be safe until it's time for you to go. You don't really need to worry about safety. You need to worry about fulfilling your purpose and doing a good job at what you're asked to do, and just be prepared to deal with the uncertainty. I have a whole, if you go look at our Blast from the Past list that we do on the Solari Report, I keep pulling up some of our old commentary about how to deal in a world where, you know, I used to have a 10-year plan and a 5-year plan and a 1-year plan for me personally and my business. You know, I went through a period with the litigation where I was lucky if my plan for the day worked. And the next day, I had to invent a whole new plan. So we're in that kind of shortening of planning time horizon. So I'm not saying don't think very, very long term, but be prepared to move. Hi, Catherine. Thank you for the work you're doing. I'm a new member and still finding my way around the Solari Report. I came across a recent interview with Jeff Bezos about moving majority of humanity off the planet Earth. Do you see this really happening in our lifetime? I do think there is a rush project to create human civilizations elsewhere and to become a multiplanetary civilization. And the question, of course, is why? Dr. Farrell and I talk about it in Unanswered Questions. I thought this was a very interesting interview, and I didn't know of it, so I really appreciate your bringing it to my attention. And we've posted news trends and stories. The one thing I would say is, right, I don't know what the timing was, but a guy who just went to space with Bezos and Shatner just died in a plane crash that looks very suspicious. So I wonder after Bezos gave the interview if he started telling people that's not the story and that's not what Bezos said, or doing something to leak out the real deal on that trip. And Bezos, During your interview, Who is Mr. Global? You mentioned that you made a list of all possible underground bunkers. This list would be valuable intel for citizen patriots who may want to monitor activity. Is there any way you can send or make public? I really enjoy your interviews and content. I am almost clean getting very good, and participate in Cash Fridays. Thank you for helping me connect the dots, especially in the financial world. We did this, the list of the underground bunkers in the United States, or underground installations. The goal was to estimate how much money went into building and maintaining. So what percentage of the missing money was really to build out the underground bunker and transportation networks. I'm not sure it's useful for much else, but we will look into making a PDF. And I appreciate your letting me know. Just understand it's what we call a WAG, a wild ass guess, which I found when I was an investment banker, I found doing WAGs was very, very useful, but you had to be careful how you used them. Dear Catherine, I was born and lived in Denmark. Now you're living in California with your husband. And the question is, should you go back to Denmark? This is a very personal question. I don't know. I need to know a lot more about you and your situation, both in the United States and in Denmark. Mads Palvik is the leader of JFK 21 political party. I just spent a couple days with him traveling throughout Europe, and he's amazing. And he sort of keeps me up to date on what's going on in Denmark. I don't know that you're better off going to Denmark. And, you know, the one thing when I'm in a situation like this, I do a lot of prayer. I think it's really important to be with the people you love. So if that means, you know, you say you feel safer with the group that you're with now, that's your intuition telling you to stay. There's a great deal, even if you stay, there's a great deal you can do to stay connected and support your family in Denmark from where you are. And I would really think very fully about what you can do and how you can do it. But I would not, don't go back to Denmark on a self-sacrificing push. It's incredibly important that you turtle through this period. And the thing that will help you to do that the most is love. Nurture your love and guard your heart. It's nurturing that love that will give you the love you need to help support your family in Denmark from afar, if that's how you do it. So I just don't know enough about your situation, both in Denmark and in California, to know which is the best. But, you know, so what I would do is I'd do some serious prayer. Hi, Catherine. There's a 1.5 million, 190-acre property made for Y2K Resilience that I'm considering buying. It has 6 homes, some unfinished, but solid cement walls with bulletproof blinds. Can you give me some reason not to buy it? Is smaller better, essentially making a compound for my family? The property sounds like it has a lot of potential. I don't know enough about where it is. Different states are different. You know, if it's in New York State, it's very different kettle of fish than it's in Tennessee or South Dakota. Any place, any one place can be taken out. So I would not put all my money into one place. You know, I'd rather have multiple places, multiple networks, multiple options, and a mobile van. And I think the less to take care of, the better. Although size of property, 190 acres, should get you away from a lot of cell towers. Now, it won't get you away from the satellites, but you can do a lot with trees and other cover, I think, to help yourself. Okay, someone sent an absolutely amazing, excellent report on the semiconductor industry. I can't thank you enough. I'm going to have many questions for you. I've read it once, but I need to read it several times because I'm just not an expert in that. I cannot tell you how much detailed reports like this from any industry or any place help. This is the best intelligence. And one of the things I think about a lot at Solaria is how can we circulate our intelligence to each other? Because there is no doubt, you know, the world is complex, and detailed, complex reports of what's going on in your place or in your industry, they're just amazing. If it wasn't for the doctors and nurses feeding me very detailed, complex reports throughout COVID-19, I would never, ever have been able to understand what was going on to the extent that we do. It really gave me the framework I needed, so I'm very, very grateful. Dear Catherine, it was reported when Ollie Stone's JFK Revisited Through the Looking Glass was debuted in Cannes that no American distributor would pick it up and the film would be distributed in Europe. I tracked down Altitude as a posted coming soon. Any chance you've seen the film? No, but I hope to watch it either this week or next. I think it comes out on the 26th, so it would be next week. Hi, Catherine. Blessings to you, and hope you are over your cold. Not quite. I finally got rid of the cold last year, and then bam, here we go again. What a troop you are to do money in markets. About 2 weeks ago, I drove from a small Colorado town to Dallas, Texas. Prior to leaving Colorado, the chemtrail spring was enormous. Last two photos, then I drove to Taos, New Mexico, and the spring was worse. A few days later, I read that COVID Delta had increased most rapidly in Colorado, New Mexico, and Arizona. Friends in Vegas report excessive out of ordinary spraying. I believe they are expanding their spraying to include either the virus or synergistic element. Yes, absolutely. I think that's very likely. As Rappaport has said many times, they far prefer chemical warfare to biological warfare. Odd that the documentaries What in the World Are They Spraying and What in the World Are They Spraying 2010 and 2012 respectively have not been updated. Could you please discuss the role? Well, actually, Elena Friedland has a new book that just came out, so there's going to be a lot in there. Could you please discuss the role of chemtrails in the pandemic on Ask Catherine? The spraying is a critical part of the great poisoning, and I believe one of the reasons is weather manipulation, which is critical to getting 190 presidents to do what you say. On money and markets, I discussed the Alberta minister saying thank you to the people who send the rain. That's clearly a reference to weather control. I recommend the Clifford Carnicom 2-hour special in the library. We did it long ago, but to my knowledge, it's still the best single description. He came up, we did a series of three on the spraying. One was me alone, then one with Clifford, and then we did this big 2-hour special where he walks through all the different theories of what this might be about. It's old, but it's still the best I've ever heard. Question, Maine passed the right to food and blocked the green energy corridor from Quebec to Boston in a citizens' referendum. We had 80,000 signatures out of 1.5 million state population in order to put the corridor to a vote. I don't know what other tricks they will bring, but we are resisting. These guys won. It's unbelievable. It shows you what you can do. This is why it's so important to support the Swiss on the referendum on November 28th. And a lot of subscribers jumped into the last money and donated money to the folks in Maine to help them with ads on the last 2 days. And I really want to give a big shout out to the Salieri Report Network for jumping in and supporting the folks in Maine. If we can get this right to food, because we're going to need to grow our own food and sell our own food and circulate our own food. And so this is, you know, what the folks in Maine did was great. Hi, Catherine. What do you think of the Republican win in Virginia? The new governor was the senior leader at Carlisle. I described this last week. I'm hoping he left Carlisle because he realized the game on the going direct reset was appalled, but I just don't know. We'll have to see how he plays out. Carlisle is, you know, I believe Carlisle laundered a lot of the money on the money that went missing from the federal government. Catherine, during your recent interview with Farrell, who is Mr. Global, at the 45-minute mark, you described how you noticed that Bill Clinton was made super ambassador of the UN to Haiti. You thought, uh-oh, they're going to hit Haiti. Could you please explain the reasoning behind this? Yeah, it's simple. There's a longstanding hatred of Haiti because Haiti really was critical in stopping the slave trade. If you read my interview in the or my book review in the library of a book, The Half Has Never Been Told, I think that book does a great job. And I also do an interview of Jerry Dady about what's going on in Haiti and the sort of hit on Haiti. If you listen to that, you can. She's a fabulous scientist and commentator on events in Haiti. Anyway, so there's a longstanding hatred of the establishment. If you're going to roll up into a global tyranny, it's time for Haiti to get payback. So that was number one. Number two, if you look at the natural resources in and around Haiti, there's a tremendous amount of wealth to be harvested. Part of this is, you know, they've got control of the Dominican Republic and lots of assets in there. And so it's a no-brainer to kind of roll up Haiti and get total control as that piece of land. Finally, Bill and Hillary Clinton are, you know, they're heat-seeking missiles. They don't do anything for free. And so if Bill Clinton's going to become the super ambassador to a tiny place, it's because he's planning on having a lot of power and making a lot of money with Hillary at the State Department. So that's Hillary's first act of how she cashes in on becoming Secretary of State. There's a great quote of her screaming at her staff when they showed up at a 4-H club in New York on the campaign trail, and she blew her lid and said, "What the bleep are we doing here? There's no money here." So these guys are heat-seeking missiles, and she'd be looking on cashing in on becoming Secretary of the State. why Biden nominated a Marxist to the Treasury Department. And then there's a reference to an interview about communism taking over. It's a good interview, but, and then a link on the Omarova nomination to the OCC office. Titus and I talked about it last week. We talked about it again on Money and Markets. First of all, this academic is not a Marxist. And I really be very careful how you throw around these names, because they're all part of BS, divide and conquer spin, and we don't want to fall into this trap. The objection we have to Omarova and as a nominee for the OCC head is this is somebody who intends to turn over 100% control to the central bankers. Now, turning 100% control to the central bankers is not Marxism. Please understand the difference between Marxism and slavery, particularly slavery that comes with transhumanism. This is far, far worse. And if we fall into the old traps of, you know, right, left, communist, Marxist, that's all very inaccurate description of what is going on here. If you read the Vanderbilt Law Review article, which I have, you know, and I'm forcing Titus to read it too. If you read it, what you understand, turning 100% control over to the people who own the central banks has nothing to do with Marxism. Nothing. Not to say that she doesn't throw around like the People's Bank and all this other BS. That's just marketing spin. Local gatherings. I'm the subscriber from Austria. Okay, so this was somebody in the Netherlands who went to Austria, and then Austria is turning out to be one of the toughest places. So I sent you an introduction to some folks in Friesland, and I suggest you get on the Connect software and link up with both Austrian and Dutch subscribers. Austria is looking very draconian. So if I were you, I'd keep a foot in the Netherlands for sure. Anyway, good luck. I hope that helps. Nice music from a Christian activist conference on the weekend in San Antonio, Texas. Like the sign in the old vid says, stop hating each other because you disagree. Thanks for the link. I love when the musicians jump in and help. Somebody also sent a link to the Swiss Top Secret Drum Corps. That's amazing. It's beautiful. Some university students in Austria are segregated, no food and canteen and separate seating. Oh, it's frightening. Somebody sent the link for that. I'm sensing that the glob, globalist mob, is saving the South for last. And they sent a link to this song by a beautiful soul as a poetic gift for filling in some nuance in the racial rhetoric. The beatdown on the South has been going on hot and heavy for a long time. Monuments, white domestic terrorism, you know, drawing all the kids for army and military and getting them killed in the Middle East. Katrina, drugs, very serious. Then someone sent, again, that article about truck drivers. So thank you for that. That's a good one. I read last week this quote about, first they came for the old and frail, but I did not speak out because I was healthy. Then they came for the shopkeepers and publicans because I did not speak out because I used Amazon. Then they came for the churches, but I did not speak out because they capitulated. Then they came for the healthy, but I did not speak out because it was safe and effective. Then they came for the children, but I did not speak out because they were spreaders. Then they came for the unvaccinated, but I did not speak out because they were dangerous. Then they came for my home, my car, my savings, and then there was no one left to speak for me. There you go. That's it. They're coming for the property and the assets of the vaccinated, unvaccinated alike. And, you know, I have people saying, I want to be vaccinated because I want to be part of society. Honey, you're going to be part of slavery. You're not going to be part of society. Get clear on that. Somebody sent the link again on the 100% killings being 5% of the batches. Then building new communities and getting liability insurance for employees losing their licenses, building new medical treatment sites, healing hubs, building a new renegade nation, quit spending money anywhere, mandating, and a link. It's so funny. I discussed this on Money and Markets. I just went on a road trip. And I went into a place off the highway, you know, one of the groups of restaurants and gas stations. And I went into a place called Laplace to just go to ladies' room and get some coffee. And they wouldn't let me in without a QR code. And so this lovely guy says, do you have a QR code? I said, no. He said, then you can't come in. And I said, Okay. And I started to laugh because I realized it's not safe here. This is one of the creepy places. They probably have synthetic food, and God knows, sort of what chemicals they use in the ladies' room. So, when you think about it, this is God's way of protecting me from the creepy people. So I laughed and said, sure, bye. Out I went. Hi, Catherine. I joined the Salary Report early this year and have been encouraged, frightened, intrigued by your reporting. I now follow John Titus, John Rappaport. John Titus has a new video. It's up at Salary, but you can find it at Best Evidence. I previously followed Mercola and Corbett. They're great. Corbett and Mercola are two of my favorites. As I communicate and enlighten people curious as to what is going on, I tell them to subscribe and dig into the Salary Report. Anyway, I found this article about this supply chain debacle. Yeah, this is the truck driver who talks about what's going on and with the trucking and supply chain. That's an excellent one we promoted last week, and I believe it's part of teeing up automated trucks. So, excellent piece. Another link to link of the deceased athletes. It's frightening how many beautiful. These are the healthiest people on the planet, and they are dropping like flies, 60 times the normal rate of spontaneous collapses and deaths. It's frightening. Then a link on the Pfizer clinical trial, the lies that Pfizer has engaged in on their trials. It's just frightening. And that's it for the links this week. Okay, so that's it for Ask Catherine. We have been posting all the links from the events. Children's Health Defense Europe did a marvelous job of sending a group of people led by Robert Kennedy to Milan and to Bern, Switzerland, in support of the referendum in Switzerland on November 28th. So we're hoping the Swiss vote no against, that's a no to the COVID laws, a rejection of the COVID laws. And I just have to tell you, I want to ask every subscriber here to support the Swiss people in this. If you're Swiss, if you know anybody in Switzerland, if you have network in Switzerland, you want to let them know that if they don't vote no, then the green passport, the vaccine passports, will be used to strip them of their assets, of their family wealth, of their property, of their property rights. So this tyranny is coming for all their assets, including their children. Don't think they won't literally seize and take children. So we have to say no to the green passports. We have to say no to the vaccine passports, and we have to do it now. So anything you can do, if you can pray for them, if you can support them financially, send a note, a donation to the groups who are leading that effort in Switzerland. If you, again, if you're Swiss or you have friends and family in Switzerland, warn them that this tyranny will strip them of everything, whether they're vaccinated or unvaccinated. It will make absolutely no difference. So everything, Switzerland is such a beacon. I said in the press conference in Bern, it's a lighthouse to the world. And the Swiss are some of the most intelligent and well-educated and deeply committed to Switzerland, along, since 1200, a long, long tradition to democracy and freedom. So anything you can do to support the referendum voting no on November 28th in Switzerland is an action and a vote for freedom for everybody around the world, because Switzerland is the lighthouse. We have to win in Switzerland. So I don't care if you're in Australia or New Zealand or Singapore or Hong Kong or South Africa or Canada or all across the 50 United States. We have subscribers everywhere. You care that the Swiss vote no on November 28th. So I would just ask your help, because we can conspire together to do this. So let's put this one over the top. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. Good night and good luck.